Hey there, friends. This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and this is the show where we talk all about what the Bible says about money, relationships, our careers, and everything in between, because we are called to be managers for the Creator. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, those who have been entrusted to be managers, that's us, need to be faithful. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about what faithful looks like. You call in 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. And of course, you always can email in right here to the show, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And you can reach out on social media. Many of you have been doing that. It's been awesome. My handle is just simply Chris Brown on Air. So make sure you take advantage of that. So you call in. We'll wait for those calls to get all lined up. I want to start us off with Ecclesiastes 3. A time for everything. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, time to uproot. That passage talks about all these different times. But folks, there's a time for Friday. Yes, it is Friday. And it's my oldest son's birthday. Yes, my oldest son is 12, which is pretty cool. My last year before I have to experiment with the teenage years. Oh my goodness. I am currently taking all advice that you may have on how to raise a teenager. I want to have a year of advice underneath my belt before it's showtime. The Bible says it's wise to take counsel from many. So I'm waiting for your advice on social media. Again, Chris Brown on Air is my handle. Folks, I'm excited about your calls today. Again, 866-357-3283. And this is Ann. She's calling in from Colorado Springs. Ann, how you doing?
Oh, hi, Chris. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk with you. How can I serve you?
Well, you just said your son's birthday is today. My son is 19 on Wednesday, but he's off in college. And his grandfather really did a great thing and took care of him. He's got enough money to pretty much pay for his education. And I've been, you know, a single mom raising him pretty much since he was three. But he's a really good kid. I've been blessed that way. But it's funny because he earned about $1,300 this summer, and he's not going to spend it, and he left it in the savings. And then he said to me, Mom, can I do something cool with it? You know, I've heard how important it is to start saving. He goes, can I put it in a Roth? And I said, I'm going to ask. So I thought, I'll ask you and see what your opinion is, because he's really not going to need it. And when he comes home in the summer, he can get another job. But I thought it was kind of cool that he's thinking ahead.
Yeah, it's very cool. And if my little 12-year-old, that's kind of weird saying that 12-year-old, can turn out like that, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Well, here's the deal. This is the reason why Dave Ramsey created the baby steps. Because these are hard decisions. I mean, you think about, why not invest? Chris, it's an easy answer. Yes, compound interest is amazing. Einstein said it's the eighth wonder of the world. It's a no-brainer. That money could turn into tons and tons of money later on. However, Luke 14:28, that I typically use when I'm talking about budgeting, it says, okay. Jesus says this, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? I usually talk about that when it comes to budgeting. However, he's getting ready to go into college, and you've got all these unexpected activities, all these unexpected just fees and cost and things you don't think about. And he's right. In a season where I don't know what his car situation looks like, and maybe he gets a girlfriend. All those kind of variables. What I wouldn't want to happen is he puts this money into a Roth IRA, which is great, and then 6 months from now, He has something.
He needs it.
Yes. And then he starts borrowing on a card, a credit card, and it absolutely negates everything he did good.
Okay.
Everything so far has worked. So here's the deal. I do want him to put money in a Roth, but not until he has a fully funded emergency fund. I'm assuming he's not in any kind of debt.
No, he doesn't have any. And he didn't bring his car, which I thought was a good decision. Mm-hmm. And he's been riding his bike at school. But you're right. I thought about that. What if something comes up and, you know, he wants to do something at the school, like in a club or... Mm-hmm. Something else, then, yeah, he probably should have an emergency fund.
Yeah, and it's really not if it's going to happen. It will.
Okay.
He'll have at least $1,300 worth of stuff pop up in the next 18 months. So okay. I think once he gets that emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses, and it's not 3 to 6 months of income, it's 3 to 6 months of expenses. So,
okay.
And then I'm talking about in his world, like expenses that he would absorb. So I don't even know if that's a lot of money. But after that, then yes, he needs to be jumping on the investing because,
okay.
Man, a good growth stock mutual fund from age, you know, 20 to 60 or from age 30 to 70, just $100 a month turns into over $1 million. So the
that's what we were talking about. He's listening in the car with me to Ramsey, and mm-hmm. he said, wow, if I start investing when I'm young, I can be, you know, have this much money when I'm in my 50s. I said, that's exactly what you do.
Yeah. Now, he definitely needs to jump on the compound interest train as fast as possible, but right after the emergency fund. Here, Ann, I want to hook you up. You're calling from Colorado Springs, and I want to give you free tickets to the Smart Money event. Dave and I are coming out to Colorado Springs. We're speaking at, I believe it's at Life Church, but or not, a new Life Church, but
yes.
I'm not 100% sure on the location.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
But Dave and I are coming. Yeah, we're coming November 17th, and we want you to be there and bring your son. I want to meet him.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I'm so excited. I was just thinking, I got to do this. I've got to see if I can make it and get up there. So I'm excited. Thank you very much.
You stay on the line, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. That is fun. I love giving away Dave's money.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Picture this. You have a great job and plenty of money in savings, but you're afraid to take the leap into home ownership. What should you do, rent or buy? Well, the fact is, buying a home sets you up for building wealth. So if it's a reasonable expense in your budget, you're better off buying. Talk to my friends at Churchill Mortgage to help you build a smarter plan today. Call 855-LOAN-200 or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal housing lender 761 Old Hickory Boulevard, Brentwood, Tennessee 37027.
This is Chris Brown, and you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And I told you a little bit about social media earlier. Here's a tweet I received, an encouraging one, from Matt on Twitter. It says, thank you so much for your podcast about patience. Definitely needed to hear that. Well, Matt, that's episode 323, and it can be found on iTunes. For those of you that are wondering what he's talking about, want to make sure you guys know about it. You can also find it on stewardship.com. Definitely a teaching that I really, really enjoyed. Bob, it always amazes me that what episodes resonate the most with people. It's proof of 1 Corinthians 8:6. It says, for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. And the reason why I bring that up, it's because we have absolutely no idea what which one of our episodes are going to resonate the most with folks. We put the same amount of energy and time into all of them, and it's just proof that God kind of just puts his hand on some of these episodes because, Matt, many people have emailed in about that particular episode. So if you guys are in the middle of a binge and you're listening to 8 or 9 shows in a row, which I've heard from many of you, you guys do, episode 323 apparently is one that God just has his hand on. So pretty cool stuff. All right, folks, got an email here from Deanna. Says, hey, Chris, first, I would like to say a huge thank you for all you do. Listening to your show every day has been the shot in the arm I have needed to keep going when I wanted to give up or get sidetracked. Quick question. My husband is an assistant pastor at our church, and we have heard mixed opinions on not paying into Social Security. Thank you for any help that you can give. God bless you. Well, I'm curious about the mixed opinions, Deanna. I think it goes back to me from Matthew 25, 14 through 30, the parable of the talents, and you're going after the best, most reliable investment. And I don't believe in my convictions that that is the best one or the most reliable or something that I've got a whole lot of faith in the future. I'm not a gloom and doom guy, but I just don't have a whole lot of faith in it in the future. It's not going the right direction. And, you know, and here's the deal. If you're going to exempt out of Social Security, the whole reason is so that you will invest it better. So don't exempt out of Social Security and then don't invest. That is not what it's all about. It should be from a place where you're wanting to get the most value on the dollar as a steward, not so that you can go blow it and have nice vacations. So I'm not saying that's what you're asking, but I just wanted to make that very, very clear for our listeners. Our next call comes in from Austin, Texas. This is Sean. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
I called in. I actually had a couple of questions. I actually recently got a job. I graduated college in December, and I was making $8 an hour at a sheriff's department. And now I got a job where I do trade shows, and my income is boosted from $500 to $3,000 a week, depending on how good the show is. And what I'm trying to do, and what you really know about, is to live conservative enough, and also the best way to live conservatively with my money to invest it and grow it the best way possible. I don't have a lot of assets. I have a truck and I rent my house. And my question to you is that what is your advice on someone that's like 24 years old that just graduated college and to really build your money and save it up as fast as possible?
Well, if you're self-employed and you're kind of acting as an independent contractor, which it sounds like you are, is that
yes, sir,
safe assessment? First and foremost, you got to think, I didn't go from 500 to 3,000. In your head, subconsciously, you got to say, you know what? I went from 500 to 2,000. And the reason why I mean that is because you got to meet with a CPA as soon as possible, and you got to set up estimated quarterly tax payments. So okay. I would start with about 30 to 35%. They'll tell you what they recommend. And so, you know, what they recommend is probably better because they're going to be looking at all your financials. And you're going to want to put that stuff, you want to put that away with every single paycheck that you receive. You're going to have to pay some taxes at the end of it. And then just remember also that you're not receiving any benefits. So,
no, sir,
you know, you're going to have to pay for all your own benefits. So just be one of the biggest things that I made a mistake when I was a real estate broker is I was starting to get some pretty fat checks. And I really thought I was rolling a lot more than I was.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the year, I was like, oh my goodness, this is not as impressive as I thought.
Yeah, I mean, once the payments started coming in and then, you know, I figured out that, yeah, taxes are coming soon.
Yeah.
I have been a little bit more spendy than I should have. And now I'm starting to look back on it and listening to you guys and Dave and everybody like that and really trying to get my feet on the ground and, you know, put my best foot forward on this. And listening to you guys really helps out. So,
oh, well, good. Here's the deal. The way you're going to win with finances, which goes back to your original question, is exactly that, your heartbeat. Your heartbeat to do it the right way, to win. And a lot of times personal finance, everyone listening, check it out. In personal finance, a lot of, you know, those either success or failure comes with not what's seen, it's what's behind the scene. It's really like, it's not necessarily about math decisions, it's more about heart motivations. And so you've got this motivation to do it right. And so you're gonna do it right. But one of the real practical tips that I have is just to make sure that you get your tax situation set up. Also, okay, you're in this season where you've got tons of energy and you've got time. It's a great season. And so I would really leverage daylight hours to work your tail off.
Okay.
I mean, I really think, because you're going to get a lot of fulfillment out of it. You're going to get a lot of enjoyment out of it. And here's the deal. I'm a firm believer that work is worship. If you go in and you're adding value to his children in whatever industry you're in, it's an act of worship. And it really, I know a lot of times we're in church and we're lifting our hands and we feel like we're worshiping there, and we are. But a lot of times that sacrifice and the sweat equity into other human beings and adding value to society is even more heartfelt worship, if we'll let it be. So anyway, that would be my two things. Work your tail off and make sure that you continue to
7 days a week for sure.
Yeah. But well, so, yeah, just make sure you continue to have margin in your life to be able to, you know, recreate, which is kind of like recreating. You're putting margin in your body to really think through the future and be able to connect with God. But
sure,
you got 168 hours a week, and let's execute and let's add some value to society.
Well, you motivated me. I appreciate it.
All right, Sean. Thank you so much.
All right, have a good one.
All right, bye-bye. All right, folks. Yes, we're talking about taxes, and we're talking about salaries, and we're talking about trade shows, but it's deeper than that. It all goes back to managing that energy God's way and for his glory. This whole idea of stewardship is that we manage everything that God has given us His way and for His glory. And when we get how important that is, we have to pay attention to what the Bible says in Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. And I know we all have great intentions for how we give, save, spend our money, but without a plan, it's way too easy to be unwise. And that's why I recommend that everyone go through Financial Peace University. It teaches practical steps for getting rid of debt, budgeting wisely, investing, giving generously. Financial Peace University has helped me and my family, along with 4.5 million others, learn how to manage money God's way. So if you're ready to get on the best plan for your money, head over to stewardship.com today and get started with Financial Peace University. You can choose from 3 different experiences to find the one that kind of best suits your lifestyle. You can take the class, which I highly recommend. You can take it online, or you can even take it at home. Get started today at stewardship.com.
Thank you for joining us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Next up from Kansas, this is Dell. Dell, how are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, Chris, I'm at my wit's end. I'm kind of scared here, or it's kind of scary, my situation. I've got some credit card debt. Actually, I started adding this up, and it's not as much as I thought, but my house is the thing that is that's what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 2 mortgages. For whatever reason, we chose to do the, they maxed me out on my, when we moved into this house. Chris, I don't have the money to, my house is in dire need of repairs. I don't have the money to make repairs on the house.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as my wife makes it sound easy to say, just sell the house, let's move, And my thought was always that I would, maybe I can just start kind of fix it up and maybe get into better shape to where I could sell it. Meanwhile, I'm getting, I feel like I'm drowning here and I'm in a bad situation.
Yeah. So, let me get some numbers from you. What's your income?
It's around 65 a year. That's give or take work overtime. We've got another income that's tax-free, comes up to 21 a year, structured settlement. My wife had, that's from her end. So that's 86. She's got a couple part-time jobs, but the 2 incomes that I mentioned first, those are the ones that really, that's what we use to run the house.
Right.
And my wife, actually, she has acquired some debt. Unfortunately, I don't know how much debt she's in. But
you've referred to her finances as she is in debt, her stuff. Do you guys have separate finances?
Not necessarily. We it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah. Well,
we don't have a separate like your money and my money. That's not the way it works, but it's just that.
Yeah. Well, it might, it might help you as you're going through a tough time to feel like you've got somebody with you rowing the same direction. If you use pronouns like we and our, the more unified you can get, the easier it'll be to walk through this together. Do you have any consumer debt besides the house?
Yeah.
And how much is that?
Total debt would be, we'll say 16 and a half.
Okay. And how much is the house?
The house payment combined, they're equal to 1580.
How much do you owe on the house?
The one, like I said, that second mortgage was like probably around 37 that I owe on that one. And then the other one is probably maybe 170, something like that.
Okay. So right around 200K.
Right. And I totally left this out because I wanted to get my house payment lower. I talked, went through some stuff and they mentioned something about a modification that I didn't qualify unless I was behind. So I did let up. This happened a few years back. I let it get behind like 1 or 2 payments. And I end up getting a modification. Okay. I don't have emergency fund. And then our main vehicle goes down with some major repairs.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of making a house payment, I got the truck fixed. That happened last year, and I'm still just, I never have made that payment up. I'm just still paying. So I'm a month behind. I've been getting notices right now. They said I might be in default. So I just don't know. I don't have the money to pay it.
Yeah. Well, I've got some good news for you, Dell. You're really looking at all the variables, and because of all the variables, it's feeling like everything's sinking in on you. It's feeling like it's a little bit bigger than it is. And so from a third party's perspective, and if we kind of pull up to 30,000 feet, I want to give you kind of a, I'm going to try to make you feel a little bit better about this. Okay. The amount of debt that you have in ratio to your income is actually a lot less than most callers. You actually have very little consumer debt compared to most callers. Most have about 9 to 18 months of income worth of debt, and you have about 3 months worth. And so in consumer debt. Okay. Now I'm with your wife. If it's creating a lot of tension with this house, if there's a way to get out of the house, I would. I would get less house, even though you don't have too much house. Your payment's $1,580, and that's way below what we would recommend of 25% of your take-home pay per month. So you're fine there as far as the size of home. What's happening, the numbers you're giving me tells me that you've got a lot of discretionary money that's just, you're losing money left and right. You're going out to restaurants or doing something, but money's going somewhere, because based on what you've told me here, it's not going to debt payments and it's not going to the house. So you know, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to put all of your debts smallest to largest, okay, and pay off the smallest one first. Now, if you have like a $20 debt like to a store and you can pay that off, then you want to take that money that you normally put towards that and put it towards your next one. You want to put them in smallest to largest. Now, if the urgency of losing your home comes in there and you know how urgent those letters are, then that is going to take priority. You don't want to lose your home. So take care of that first, all those double payments. Take care of that first and then pay the minimum payments until you get that taken care of. You don't want to lose your home. So that becomes priority. But you don't stop making the other payments. You just make minimum until you get secure and stable. Here's really good news for you. Your entire situation could feel so much better 2 months from now if you take 2 hours and you know all these numbers like the back of your hand. Because when I asked you all these numbers, you're kind of fuzzy on all of them, which tells me you're not in a budgeting process. I would sit down. It's worth the 2 hours of your time and write everything down on paper. It doesn't have to be on paper. It could be digitally with everydollar.com is a great resource. But once you figure out what you're dealing with, you're going to feel so much better because you're like, oh, okay. So if we just set our budget for 60,000, we set our budget for 70,000, whatever it is. And that means we have $16,000 to pay towards debt every year, or maybe it's 40 or maybe it's 30. It depends on how aggressive you get with this. But the Bible said there's only one way out of debt, and it's to free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. It means like going after it, intensity. You can't just, you know, pet the debt. You've got to attack it. And we can fall into debt, but we can't fall out of it. Okay, so that's what I would recommend to you. I'm actually going to give you a book called The Total Money Makeover. And if you walk through that book, I'm telling you, you're in a lot less problematic situation than you think you are. Some really small changes in the way you handle your finances. And 2 months from now, you're going to feel like $1 million. So stay on the line. I'm going to give you The Total Money Makeover, okay?
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, Chris.
All right, bye-bye. Well, folks, you know, sometimes, like Dell, our burden can seem huge. It can seem, you know, sometimes even bigger than it really is. And that's easy for me to say. It's a third party. I'm not in Dell's situation. And the weight he's feeling is real. And I can remember the weight that I felt during several tragedies in my life and several tough spots that I've been in. I can remember the weight of the burden when my best friend died in a car wreck in high school. And I remember the burden of that. But we have to remember that God is bigger. That God, when we remember how big God is, it makes our situation that much smaller. Psalm 104 says, Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. I don't know where you're at today, but just kind of, if you can, sit back and kind of just look up at the sky if you can, or maybe just look up at the wall. Don't do anything right now. Just take this in. Lord, my God, you are very great. You're clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He sets the earth on its foundation. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. Do you guys hear that? That's called sovereignty. That's called God's ultimate authority. Big God, small problems. Folks, know that here at Ramsey Solutions that we are praying for you wherever you're at. Those of you that are rocking and rolling and killing it, and those of you that are going through a tough season, we are cheering you on and we're praying for you. Folks, don't forget, visit stewardship.com and get on the best plan for your money with Financial Peace University. God bless you.